Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, I actually am in the bowels of Petco Park walking toward the press box and my wonderful view at my other office. By the way, Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune, I can see, as you know, your office from my office.
That's right. There are places in Petco Park where you can see the beautiful Union Tribune building across downtown.
There are also
places where you can't because you're blocked by other tall buildings in this burgeoning city in which we live, where it's another beautiful day today for a ball game, as they used to say.
Padres, Giants, there are four. Wait a minute. There are. How many are there, Jay? Are there really only six? Holy smokes. I did so much math on this yesterday.
I know.
There are only six home games left.
Six home games, six road games. We're down to the final dozen of the season.
The dirty dozen.
Padres still need to win three to avoid the 100 losses, right? 60 and 90? Does that sound right?
Yes. I think they can do it, but we don't ever know this season. We don't know what it holds for us. I was thinking that you were saying they need to win three to avoid their worst home losing percentage since the strike-shortened season of 1981. Am I correct?
That sounds right. You wrote on that last night, and we had talked about it before. I mean, it's amazing how poorly they've played here, but they might have found an antidote because I was looking up the Giants numbers. The Giants are 70 and 80 overall, which, of course, puts them 10 games ahead of the Padres, just about to clinch fourth place. That could happen here this week, but the Giants, as the Padres are 26 and 46 at Petco, when you take away those three, quote, home games in Monterey, 26 and 46 at Petco, the Giants are 29 and 46 on the road. So it's quite the battle here.
Oh, fourth and fifth place, home and road. Oh my gosh, Jay, one of San Diego's favorite people comes to town with the Giants all the time now because he used to work here and he still lives here, and that would be Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy has won three World Series rings. Bruce Bochy, those were all with the Giants, none with the Padres, in case anybody didn't know. Bruce Bochy reportedly will return, even though there will be a shakeup in baseball operations for the Giants. Jay, I often see among tweets about umpires and ratings, I often see your tweets about managers, Jay. I know you like Bruce Bochy. I know you respect Bruce Bochy. But what do you think about Bruce Bochy basically having tenure with the Giants?
Well, I think he's earned that. I mean, I think he's been around 24 seasons in the big leagues, three World Series titles, six division titles. He's been to the postseason eight times. I always enjoyed dealing with Bruce when he was the manager of the Padres, and I would do Padres, always, you know, easy to talk to, and enjoyed some of I don't know him like Tom Krasovic or those type of guys, but I do know Boch and like him. The only thing I've ever said is that to me, Boch is also an example of the limited influence that managers can have. They can have because this is Bochy's 24th season. He's about to have his 12th losing season. His career record, and this is pretty amazing, if he's 1,923 wins, 1,935 losses. He's actually under 500 in the regular season. If you throw in the playoffs, 44 and 33 in the postseason, his record going into tonight's game, 1,967 wins, 1,968 losses. And I think everyone will agree, anybody who knows anything about baseball will say Bruce Bochy is a Hall of Fame manager. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame with three World Series titles.
Right.
But
right.
What I've always said right. is he is a Hall of Fame manager. He obviously doesn't forget how to manage, to quote our friend Nick Canepa, in the years when his teams stink. So it's still, how much influence does a manager have when a guy like Bochy, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, has a career record under 500? You know, it's Bill Belichick. I almost said Bill Belichick doesn't, but it comes. Bill Belichick's also had Tom Brady, but you know, Bochy won World Series in part because of tremendous moves that he made. But the moves that he make also rely on people, players, carrying out those moves. He put Madison Bumgarner out there. Madison Bumgarner pitched probably better than anybody's ever, maybe ever pitched in the postseason. Was that because Bruce Bochy was his manager? It's just, it's hard for me to make that connection. I just think managers, like in so many other areas of sports, they get too much credit when a team wins, too much blame when a team loses. It's easy to say we should change the manager. You know, Padre fans, when Boch was here and wasn't winning playoff series, it was like, we should get rid of him. Now it's like, hey, why did we ever get rid of that guy? So that's my mini rant for the day that you set me up on. What are your thoughts? You've been around a team an entire year that's, you know, that's 60 and 90, has a manager that a lot of fans don't think knows what he's doing. I know you don't share that opinion, but what are your thoughts about what a baseball manager, you know, can do, should do, does do during the course of, you know, basically an 8-month season when you figure we started this thing in February?
Gosh, the most I can give a manager is a half a dozen games, and I'm probably giving him too much, don't you think?
I think that's probably about what I've seen some people say is that, you know, maybe makes a difference of 4, 6, 8 games a year or something like that.
And here's why I say it is, and it's why I wouldn't even go higher than that is there have been, I don't know, 10, 12 times in the season where either as it was happening or as I went over it, you know, later that night or the next day, I was like, well, gosh, Andy could have done this. And then it occurs to me, well, even if he had, the player had to execute,
right?
Be it the pitcher, be it the pinch hitter, be it the steal, whatever. And then I think, and there's things we don't know about player health, about player mentality, about why and who Andy was saving or whatever. So it's like, if I can only come up with 12, well, okay, so you think that if someone smarter than me could come up with 20, but then there's a whole bunch of times, and Jay and you and I have talked about this, where we don't know every factor that's going on. I can't give a manager more than 6 games. That's also based on my talking with players. And that's players who are ambivalent about Andy, because a lot of players are. That's not a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only going to give ambivalent. I'm not going to say there's players that are negative. I haven't come across anybody who's overtly negative. But players who are ambivalent and players who love him.
Right.
And they say, we're kind of the ones that are out there.
I think there's a culture, you know, I think managers can create a culture, that sort of thing. But, you know, and it, as far as trying to credit a manager or even a coach and everything for player improvement or not improvement, I'm just not sure at this level how much of that can happen. I mean, I'm not saying that these guys would do just as well with no coaching, because of course that's not the case, but is the coaching that much different, say, here or in San Francisco with, you know, Bochy staff, or in L.A. with Dave Roberts' staff or whatever? I mean, it still comes down to, you know, having good players, having healthy players, and sort of, you know, not doing things. To me, it's almost more not doing things to cost yourself games. And we've talked about this. Andy's in a little bit of a different situation here, because there are nights where he manages differently. You know, I thought I was at Saturday night's game, and I was surprised to see Eric Lauer, you know, come out at the point that he did. Now, you know, Andy Green said after the game he had a reason for that. It was he wanted to get his bullpen some work. So, okay, I get that. If you're in a must-win situation, which we know the Padres certainly are not in right now, maybe Eric Lauer stays in and the Padres end up holding on to that game. I don't know, but he had a reason for it, and wins and losses are not the biggest thing for this team at this point.
And just like what you said, there's other points where you would maybe take a pitcher out, but he leaves them in because he wants to see that pitcher grow, when the best thing to do with a fresh bullpen on that night might be to go to the pen in the sixth inning or something. So, yes, that's up. And the funny other thing is, you know, sometimes, because I do know what Andy looks at, and it is my job, sort of, I will notice some things, maybe the pitcher's velocity, maybe the pitcher's location, whereas I do think that oftentimes if we're not paying attention, be that a fan, media, whoever, maybe even a player, we're not paying attention to all the situations the manager is and his coaches are, and they're monitoring every single thing. So anyway, we've made an argument for how sort of unimportant, or like how their role is overblown. I do think that a coaching staff and a manager do set a culture, and I think that this one is doing a fairly good job on that. Again, I don't know how many wins to assign that. Certainly not this year. I don't know how many, but in the future, I don't know. I will tell you this. I love Joe Maddon in terms of what he's done. Joe Maddon's course will run out in Chicago because players get tired of the same old shtick.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? even the guy who is revered above all will fall by the wayside as a manager. Players are the ones that play the game.
And right, and that's the thing. And I think when you were talking about whether it's unimportant or overblown, I think I probably would pick overblown. In that case, because
right.
I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm saying or that we're saying that it's unimportant. I do think overblown is probably a better word. And that's the case. I mean, look, Bud Black was pilloried here by many people, the same people who were probably pillorying Andy Green and pilloried Bruce Bochy before him. But, you know, Bud Black in Colorado now, he went to the playoffs last year. He enters the series tonight in Los Angeles in first place, a half a game ahead of the Dodgers. And clearly, whatever the problem, Bud Black knows what he's doing, because if it's a case where he couldn't win, well, he is winning. He couldn't win here because he had crummy players. And
there you go.
And that's the bottom line. And, you know, he couldn't win that. We've talked before, the tiebreaker game where he had his Cy Young winner starting and his Hall of Fame closer. And, you know, there were reasons why neither one of them came through that night, but they didn't. And, you know, the Rockies won that game and went to the postseason. So it's just, you know, I think it could go on and on, but I do think that it's overblown, and it's shown up again with the idea that Bud's had two good seasons in a row in Colorado when he's had players that are very good and pitchers, you know, that maybe weren't considered great, but he's done a good job with them along with his coaching. And I think the same thing was true here with Darren Balsley. I mean, I think it's hard for me to believe that Andy Green makes a lot of moves with that pitching staff without Darren Balsley, without talking to Darren Balsley and taking Balsley's advice on a lot of different things.
I am absolutely, along with all the stuff we've talked about of their development and finding out who can do what. You notice Trey Wingenter is coming in more situations, different varied leverage situations. So Jose Castillo has been for a while, where they weren't before. And I might have said, dang it, why is, and I did actually, dang it, Andy, why is Jose Castillo not in this situation? Mm-hmm. And it's explained to me in a detailed way, and I get, okay, but now, and you know what Andy said at the time, I'm not afraid, and he'll earn his way there, and guess what, he has. So one more thing, and he walked past me just a few minutes ago, the big home run yesterday, grand slam, Jose Mejia, or Francisco Mejia. We have a catcher situation here, and it's what I like to call, in my wisdom, a good team problem.
I would agree with
Austin
that.
Hedges,
I would agree with
to
that.
Hit.
He does, and I thought, you know, I watched Mejia the other night. I was there on Friday night when he caught, and thought he made a couple good throws. Down to second base. I think once the guy was out, once he might have been safe, but he looked like he had a, you know, looked like he had a strong arm and all
heck
that
of an
stuff.
Arm.
And you know, I think
better than Hedges, not as good a receiver or a transfer as Hedges, but a better arm.
Right. So, you know, and obviously he's hitting. He had the couple homers in Cincinnati. I mean, the big home run yesterday. I don't see a problem keeping both those guys. I think it's a good thing. I think in that position, for one thing, guys are going to get banged up in that spot, you know, where a guy misses a week with a bruised thumb or a bruise on his foot or wherever a catcher might get hit in a certain part of the body. So I think, you know, having a good backup, I mean, we've seen it this year with the season that AJ Ellis had behind Hedges. I don't see anything wrong with Hedges catching 110, 120 games. You know, Mejia catching 50, and then Mejia finds a place as a DH in the AL park, at third base, in the outfield. I think situations tend to take care of themselves, and I think this is one of them where I wouldn't be too quick to just say, well, we need to trade one of these guys, because I think having two good young catchers is a very good thing for a team.
Here's the deal. I think you probably have caught on, Jay. I love Austin Hedges.
Really?
By the amount. that I have written about him and the things I've written. That said, I think I've done a really good job, and I'm going to tell you this. Francisco Mejia can hit balls that no one else on this team can. He is a fantastic hitter, and I believe, most importantly, since I don't work for the team or make the decisions, I believe the Padres feel that way. I believe Francisco Mejia will be here next year. I happen to believe Austin Hedges will be here, but what is also true is Austin Hedges will be made available in trades. Okay. If the Padres feel that the return is worth it. Now, see, that's the thing is, just because you make a guy available, so many more guys are made available than we ever find out about. So just be aware that, oh, they're going to put Austin Hedges out there. Well, yeah, they're going to put everybody but Francisco Mejia, Will Myers, still they'll probably put Will out, but they probably know the reality there, Eric Hosmer out there, possibly for trade. So, but it's going to take a lot to get one of these guys. They're perfectly happy with having both of these guys on the team next year. So both are true. Made available, happy to have them both next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would. There's not a lot of guys on this team that you would say, boy, this guy has to be back. I mean, I think if you can get something, you know, get a good return. But again, you're not trying. My point is, don't just trade one of these guys because you feel like you have to, because I don't think you do have to. I think a team needs to, you know, you can never have enough good players. These are two good players. And if you can't get another really good player back for one of them, then hold on to them. And again, you just don't know what's going to happen. And I look forward to seeing both guys next year, you know, playing for the Padres.
Gosh, I would think, again, it's just a good team problem. Holy smokes. That starts, now look, they're a long way from being this team, but I mean, that's like a Cubs problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, you find spots for guys. If guys deserve to be in the lineup, you find places for them to play. I mean, we've talked before about Myers being that kind of guy. I mean, the Cubs do it with Zobrist. They do it with Chris Bryant. You know, the Padres should be so lucky to get themselves in a position where they have too many good players. That's the goal, and I think that's where they are with the last thing. That's where they are with their pitching. Especially in the minors, as you look at it, you go, oh my gosh, look at all these pitchers they have and all these top prospects and, you know, Mackenzie Gore and Chris Paddock and Morahon and Baez and the guys who are up here already with Lucchesi and Lauer and Patino that is still in the minors. I mean, all these guys, you're like, they only have a 5-man rotation. What are you going to do with all these guys? Things work themselves out. You guys get hurt, guys flame out. Guys become fantastic. Guys get traded. I mean, there's just so many different possibilities. The idea is accumulate talent, and I think that's what they've tried to do. And and at the catching position, that's what they've done. They've accumulated two guys that appear to be good major league players. And the idea of just saying, "Well, we got to get rid of one of them," I don't buy that at all.
No, especially when one of them can play other spots, no matter what he says about enjoying catcher. He's a really good guy. That's one thing I've learned. And, you know,
he'll enjoy being in the lineup more than he'll enjoy just being a catcher. So I think it's a good situation. And, I look forward to, like cool. I said, I look forward to seeing those guys.
Well, this was fun, Jay. This was fun. Again, we find stuff to talk about, and every time, and I could go on for another hour because you brought up a lot of points about the prospects and all the things they're going to do, and I know that we'll get into that as we close in on the end of the season talking about all that. But I got to get up and start writing. Brian Mitchell, start tonight. Oh, very exciting. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Start number three.
That's right. That's right. We'll look forward to that. And then I can't believe how lucky you are this weekend, Kevin. I just thought of this morning. You get to be in Los Angeles on the same day, the same weekend as the fight for LA.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, just imagine the buzz, the energy that will be in LA this weekend with all those people knowing that the Chargers and Rams will be playing each other at the Coliseum.
Not to get too, I don't want to talk about the Chargers.
Yeah.
Part of my past, Jay, it's a scar that has healed. It's calloused. But do you think the NFL has told the referee, if you say San Diego Chargers during this game, you will be fired?
It kept happening yesterday. It was so hilarious. It just every game
that's what you need to do.
It's so great that it just keeps happening. And then the announcers and Dan Fouts will be in the booth this week for that game as well. So it only adds to the fun. But we'll be keeping an eye on the Padre game at the same time, I'm sure. So.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
Kevin, have a good week, and we will talk to you on Friday from Chavez Ravine.
From the aforementioned Chavez Ravine.
Correct.
All right. Talk to you later today. Right. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for joining us.